You're listening to the second season of Strings Attached. I'm Asaf Maoz. In season 2, I chose to dedicate the first few episodes to women. As a man, I often see that the world of music, and probably other fields, is lacking feminine role models. I keep wondering to myself, if I'm a young woman who aspires to excel in my field, who do I have to look up to? A man? Or maybe a woman like me? My guest today has the most beautiful French accent, and we speak exactly about that, how living in different places in the world, speaking different languages, can influence the way you make music. Could you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Asaf. I'm Lola Desco. I'm bassoon player. So the bassoon, for people who don't know this instrument, is the long wooden tube in the back of the orchestra, close to the clarinet and the oboe. It's a woodwind instrument. And I'm a professional musician. I'm now playing in Rotterdam Philharmonic. And I used to be in a few different orchestras before. I used to be in Paris, in my country, in Orchestre de Paris, and then in Frankfurt Opera in Germany. And I met Asaf in Verbier Festival, I think 2 summers ago. And I'm very happy to join the podcast today.
Yes, me too. I'm very happy. And let me take you back a few years. Do you remember this moment that you fell in love with the instrument, that you thought to yourself, this could be something interesting to continue playing and doing?
I remember exactly, because I literally fell in love with the bassoon. I was playing the piano in the music school in Reims, in my town, and there we had a big project with all the classes to build an opera. And it was a Ravel opera, L'Enfant et les Sortilèges, and I was singing in the children choir, and so we were singing few arias, but most of the time we were just waiting for all the staging, all the orchestra and the soloists to set up and to be well together. And so I was observing the orchestra, and I don't come from a very musical family, so for me most of instruments were very new. And I really fell in love with this long wooden tube, I told you before, the bassoon. And it was both the sound, of course, and also the instruments, the physical instruments, the object. I found very, very, very special, original and beautiful. And from that day, I told my parents, I want to play the bassoon. I want to play the bassoon. And they were like, what is the bassoon? And after a few weeks, my mom saw that I sticked with it. I was like, I still want to play the bassoon. So I really insisted a lot. And she said, okay, let's go to the conservatory, to the music school, and let's see if there is any possibility to begin this instrument.
At what point do you remember thinking, I'm going to do it professionally? It might take more effort than just, you know, being, you know, having fun with it. Or was it always just fun?
So I used to play the piano, and it was quite strict and very, yeah, the atmosphere was very, very serious and strict. And when I began with the bassoon, it was really more like a family. We were playing together, we were doing duets, trio, and I don't know, it was a very different atmosphere, and I really liked it. And after a year, I realized, if I really want to improve, I also need to practice this instrument. It's like the piano. and so I did, and there were two very important moments. The first one was my best friend. She was clarinet player at that time, and she was from a musician family. And so she taught me everything, how does it work. To get professional, you have to get to the conservatoire in Paris. You have 3 times, you can do the audition only 3 times. She explained me all these little tricks of the music world and all I needed to know too. So that was a very important point, because we shared a lot, and I came to her family, I listened to concerts, I saw also how it was, like they were all practicing all day, and there were really this atmosphere of being passionate and really involved in the music day and night, a bit in the spirit. And there was this moment, and also years later, so I continue my path with bassoon, the piano, but also general studies. And when I was 15 years old, I did the French Youth Orchestra. And I played a few times in orchestra in the music school, but I don't know, it was, people didn't have a lot of time and the quality was never really good. And when I played with this French Youth Orchestra, for me, it was the first time I was playing in a beautiful hall with a real conductor and with the whole orchestra. And everyone was motivated to play in orchestra. So everyone practiced very well their parts. And it was this passionate, common spirit. And we played the Height of Spring. I didn't play the solo bassoon, but I was the youngest. But I played in the section, and the sensation, the rhythm, the vibrations of the orchestra, they were really a moment. I thought, wow, I want that to be my daily life. I would love that to be my job, if it's possible. Yeah.
You know, when I listen to you and I hear two things, first of all, the very strong French accent, and secondly, this huge passion for music and your instrument. And I love it. I love both of these things. And I want to ask you two different things. First question is, a few years later, you went to this competition, huge competition, and the bassoon is usually an instrument that is played in an orchestra. But in the competition, you had to compete by yourself, Lola alone on stage, maybe with the piano. How does it feel to take out this instrument that is usually in the middle of the orchestra and suddenly put it in the front of the stage and be sort of the star of the show? What does it feel like? I mean, and bringing all this passion that you have.
It felt for me quite natural because during all the studies, we know that most of us, if we succeed, we will play in orchestra. But during all the studies, we practice concerto, sonatas, and solo stuff. So I was used to it. And for me, I did quite a lot of international competitions. And for me, it was always a goal to discover new repertoire, to improve myself, my playing. And so I did a few of them. I won many prizes, which was very nice. It was like a personal recognition for me. And but the Tchaikovsky competition you were speaking about, it made a very different approach to it because so I was in the final. I was the only bassoonist. We were all the woodwinds together, but I was the only bassoonist in final. And I got a very nice prize, which was great. Like the other competitions, like a very nice and personal recognition, and also recognition in the bassoon world, in the woodwinds world, which was very nice. But there was something different in this competition. It was not only a bassoon very... really in our bassoon world, because it was direct on Medici television, and it's also Tchaikovsky competition, which is famous in all the world, mostly for piano, violin, and cello recently. But so suddenly it was not only a personal recognition and a bassoon world recognition, but also a worldwide recognition. And after that, a lot of friends told me, "Oh, after what you just won, you should look for an agency. You should try to make more solo concerts and things." And for me, it was a bit strange because I never thought about that. Because as you said, the bassoon is mainly in the orchestra, and even if I played the concerto already with orchestra a few times, but for me it was a bit on the side of my career and just few times a year and not a main thing. And suddenly people were telling me, "Oh, but that could be the main thing. Why not?" And it was big, really a big shock, because I thought, really, is that possible? And yeah, and I think now I realize that, yeah, it's finally possible, but it took me a while to digest it and to think, okay, I can do something from that, you know?
I have so many questions, and one of them might maybe disturb you, and I will ask it now, and we continue with this conversation. But the bassoon, it has a very low register. It has a very low sound, and it's mostly played by men. Did you ever get this comment of, oh, you sound like a man, or you should sound like a man? How do you react to this comment? Does it bother you? Does it even matter if you're a woman playing this instrument?
There are more and more women playing this instrument nowadays in the music school, in the conservatory, but still not very much in the professional world. That's true. It will change. But yeah, and the bassoon is a low instrument. It's like the cello. So you have a big range, because you say it's low, but we can also go really in the high register. But most people know the bassoon only in the low register from the orchestra. And yeah, it's mostly because it's low. It's a low voice, so it's associated probably in mind with men voice, so with men and men character. Yeah, it happened to me, not so often, but it happened to me once. I remember I was really shocked and offended, because I played a concerto. I played a Vivaldi concerto in a festival during the summer in a very beautiful castle with friends. And at the end, a man came to me and he congratulated me, and he told me, oh yeah, it's really a men instrument. I think for the air and for the powerful of the sound, probably a man can do better.
Wow.
And I was like, oh my God, how could you say that? You have no idea how does it work with the air and with all the technique. I mean, which is very stupid, because I mean, it's the same technique than the singers, and we have fantastic soprano as well as bass, baritone voices. I mean, so.
Of course.
So I was a bit offended by this, but it didn't happen so many times, and it's probably still something people have a bit in mind. A few months ago, there were an audition in Düsseldorf for the teaching position, the Hochschule, in Germany, and it's the first time a woman got a teaching position in Hochschule, so in a high university music school in Germany. The first time in their history.
Wow. Wow.
And I didn't realize that, because I never counted how many men, how many women. I didn't do that. But when I realized that, it was, wow, it's only the first woman to teach the bassoon in Germany. That's in a higher level, higher high school. Yeah.
So talking about that, I mean, you grew up playing the bassoon and obviously listening quite a lot to music. And maybe there were not so many female bassoon players to look up to think about, oh, I would like to be like her. Maybe you would think, I would like to be like him. Does it matter? Or did you have any kind of this role models that you would like to aspire to be like?
No, that's true. They were not really a model, role model as bassoon player. There were already few women, but I discovered later. There were already a few women having huge position. Like, for example, Judith Leclerc, she's in New York Philharmonic, solo bassoon for years, for decades now. And in France, so they were in Paris, in Orchestre National de France, there were one solo bassoon, Françoise Carré. So I never thought it's something impossible. There were a few examples, but I was just surrounded with men. And and especially as a soloist or people doing a big career, I never saw any woman. So I don't know how I would have reacted if I had a role model. Probably my past would have been different. Yeah, certainly. But I remember thinking I had few friends, clarinet players, studying with Sabine Meyer, and Sabine Meyer, she was the first female clarinetist to be solo clarinet in Berliner Philharmoniker, for people who don't know. And she after that, she quit after a few years, and she did a big solo career. And so I always thought, wow, what a luck for all the clarinet player, for all the female clarinet players to have this role model and to be able to study with them. Because for me, at that time, I didn't think about like solo career or big position, if I was able to imagine myself in this position. It was mostly technical things, because of course we don't have the same body, men and women. And I was struggling with some technical issues, with the air and how to, with the support, with like very technical question. And I'm sure that if I had female teachers, they could have helped me more, because it's more, I mean, probably the sensations, the feelings, you can describe maybe closer than men. And also the mouth, what the reed. So we play a double reed on the bassoon, so it's the mouthpiece we use. I had many men teacher who were playing very strongly and very thick material, and I couldn't play that. For me, it was too tiring. I couldn't play a phrase, and it was out of air after a few notes. And they told me, yeah, but you have to force yourself. Yeah, just breathe more and blow more. And I was trying and I was forcing. And I think all that was not really good for my technique. So I found it later my own way. But I'm sure that if I had, for this technical question, if I had a female teacher, that would have helped me a lot. Yeah.
So if I'm now switching the position, so to speak, and you are now a leading bassoon player, a leading woman in this world of wind instruments, how do you take it as your role, being a role model for other younger women or other women in this world of music? Do you even think about it? Do people approach you and ask for advice? Do you love giving advice?
Very good question. I love teaching. Yeah, I love giving advice. If I can, of course, helping the others. But recently it happened with two very nice stories. The first one was in my partner was playing with Budapest Festival Orchestra, and they were one substitute playing in the bassoon section in the contrabassoon. So my partner spoke with her like the whole week, and he said, oh, my girlfriend is a bassoonist. And yeah, and she didn't really ask who I was. And and the day of one of the concerts were in Belgium, so very close to where I live. So I came to listen to the concert and to see my partner, and I was listening to the sound check, and it seemed that this girl saw me. And she came to my partner, and she told him, but your girlfriend is Lola? Lola Descoux? And he was, yes. And she was, oh, but I'm totally fan of her. She's my model. And she and she was like, if I was really a very famous actress. And she was so happy to see me and wanted autograph. Now, it was a bit this approach. It was very funny at the moment, but I never realized that, actually I could be. It was the first time I realized, oh, I can be for a young generation a model and inspiration for their career and their bassoon playing. Yeah, so it was very rewarding in a way. And also I did a lot of little short, very short videos. I posted on YouTube and social media where I play short songs or short pieces, mostly arrangements, and in a very original setting, in the nature or in beautiful setting. I did that with a good friend of mine who is a filmmaker, Pierre Dugovson. And so now we did the four series of these short videos. And actually that is mostly what people tell me. I played in a bassoon festival in Poland in January. And there were a lot of young people coming to me. I love your videos. And I was very happy because I did that bit of course, in a way to expand and to to show more the bassoon in an original way. And it seems like people really discover the instrument thankful to these videos, and young bassoonists are very really like them. So that's I didn't do that on purpose, of course, but. I was glad that it could serve the bassoon world and help young generation. And the last story I wanted to tell you, it was like 2 weeks ago in the States. I was with my orchestra, with Rotterdam Philharmonic. We did a tour, and we began the tour with 4 concerts in Florida. And the first concert was in Sarasota, and after that we were in Orlando, Miami. And when I was in Miami, I discovered on my Facebook, you have this invitation through messages. So I don't open that very often. And I discovered that I had a message a few days ago for a woman. She's a mother, and she wrote me from Sarasota. And she's the mother of a very young bassoon player, 11 years old. And she told me, oh, she's a big fan of you, of yours, and she would love to meet you. We saw that you're playing in Sarasota. We would love to invite you for lunch. And of course, it was too late because we already did this concert and we were already in Miami. I proposed them to come to the next concert, but it was too far away for them. So I didn't meet them, but I found that very, very cute first. and then we chatted a bit more with this woman. And she told me that her daughter fell in love with the bassoon, and she's totally passionate, and she saw all these little videos I did, all this project I did, and it was very, very cute. So I sent her my CD by post as a surprise, and she was super excited about it. So it's a very, very cute story, but just to tell that it happened now that it seems to to few young female bassoonists that I can be a role model for them. And I didn't do that on purpose, but I'm very, very happy if it's possible.
We were talking about your competition and about you're obviously playing quite a lot of concerts. And I'm curious, do you find any weakness in you? And if you do, how do you deal with it? How do you approach your own weakness or weaknesses? I don't know. It can be technical or mental or something that helps you to deal with your own daily routine.
Of course, I feel a lot of weaknesses still. It was a few days ago we spoke with musicians, and we were speaking about how we saw our teachers when we were young. And on my side, I really thought they know. They master it. They know how to deal. And now I'm more in this posture. And I think, of course, I know more things, but I still have a lot to learn. And it's an unfinished way to learn. Of course, then it's smaller and smaller and smaller and probably thinner details. But still, I always feel that I have a lot to improve and a lot to learn. But it's great for me. It's a way to be always motivated to practice. And to answer your question, I think when I was young, I used to play the French. I don't know if you know, there's two different bassoon systems. So I used to play the French bassoon. And then I switched when I was 18 to the German, the more usual bassoon. And the French bassoon school is very, very focused on technique, on virtuosity. And so I was really good at playing super virtuosistic, super quick, super with a staccato. Yeah. But I don't know, after a few years, after my studies, when I played in orchestra, I thought that'd be stupid. Like, it's like a bit monkey, like showing how I can play quick and circus. And I thought that's not really, it's a part of the art, of the performance. But I really prefer the part when you express yourself and you're saying through the music, saying saying a story, saying feelings, saying showing things, so I had a bit of a problem with that. So for years I hated like the circus way of playing, and I think now I'm putting them together. I realize, yeah, it's also part of the performance, and it's also important. And so I reconnect with this part of the playing. Yeah.
We spoke before about your beautiful French accent, and you told us about that you played in different countries. You know, you played in Paris, and you played in Frankfurt, and now you're playing in Rotterdam. What does all this melting pot of different places in the world, how does it influence your music making? Or maybe it doesn't. Maybe it's not important to move to different places.
It does a lot, for sure. Yeah, it seems for American, for example, like they see Europe like so tiny, and they think, oh, France is like just a little state of America. Germany is also, but actually we have so the history of every country is so different that we really have so different approach of the music, and the cultural background is so different. And of course, it's only 400 kilometers between Paris and Frankfurt, so it's nothing. But yeah, actually, the sound of the orchestra, the way the orchestra build the sound, like in Germany, is mostly from the bass. Everything is built from the low harmonics, so there are a lot of basses in the sounds, and all the higher instruments, they put their harmonics in the low harmonics. And it's really like a pyramid. You have really the bottom with a lot of low harmonics, and everyone is putting the harmonics. So the sound of the high register, like the flute or the violin, it's very warm and round because they use a lot. They are very focused in the low harmonics of the instruments. And it's totally the opposite in France. in France, it's really exactly the opposite, which works fantastically for French music. It's very transparent, so it's mostly focused on high harmonics, and even the low instruments, they look for the high harmonics. And in France, the orchestra, we don't play with a lot of basses comparing to Germany. Contrabass, cello, even bassoon, we play quite soft. And but the high, the violins, the flute, the clarinets in the high register are really like shining, and shining with a lot of high harmonics. It's really the sound, and very thin, and really connected to the French music, to Ravel, to Debussy. It works perfectly for this music here. But so for me, I spent I was really a baby, and so I spent 9 years in Paris playing in Orchestre de Paris. And so when I came to Germany, it was such a different approach. I have to play like twice or three times louder and darker, also find a darker sound. And it was very, very different. I loved it. I love to change totally the conception of the sound. And actually, it was, I also studied a bit in Germany with a bassoon teacher who was Norwegian, and I was always a bit attracted by this sound, this beautiful collective sound in Germany. And so I was very happy to do all these changes, but I had to change a lot of things in my technique, in my way of playing, in my reads, in my conception of the sound. Yeah, but I loved to do it. It was very interesting for me.
You're obviously very successful, and you played quite a lot of concerts in your life and many different positions. But was there a point that you told yourself, what the hell am I doing? Why do I keep playing this in this music world? Should I maybe switch and do something totally different?
Yeah, there were moments because it's also really connected to my personal life. But I was in a relationship for 10 years when I was in Paris. I bought a house. I was really settled in Paris. But actually, I wasn't super happy with my position in the orchestra and in Orchestre de Paris, and yeah, I was struggling a bit with that, and And but for years, I forced me. I thought, you will feel better. You just need more time. Be patient. But after years, I didn't feel good. And at some point, I thought, okay, there were a lot of auditions abroad, but my partner was there. I had a house. I was really settled. So I thought, okay, I will not do auditions abroad. So what should I do? And I come from not from a musical family, but I come from a very artistic family because my mom is a painter and my dad is an architect, and they were really surrounded with a lot of artists. So I always thought, I would love to do some theater, musical, theater music performances. And in Paris, we have, in France, we have this system, intermittent du spectacle. So it's a very helpful system for artists. And so, because thankful to that, we have a lot of it's very creative in France, in particularly in Paris, because it's the center of France, but very, very creative. So there are a lot of these kind of projects, and I was always interested. And so as I wasn't very satisfied with my orchestra life, I took a sabbatical year. And I did few projects like that, and I thought, okay, I give myself a year, and I try to do other projects, but I can also stop the music and do something else. I give me the space to rethink about all that and to maybe change totally my way and my path. So I did that, but actually at first I thought, I will not play in orchestra anymore. The first month I was sick of it because I didn't feel good. And I was like, okay, for a few months. And I began few theatrical projects and things. But after, it was quite clear, like it came back very quickly. I would say four or five months. I missed the collective playing. I missed the family, also the family spirit and feeling of the orchestra. You know, it's a big family, so there are people complicated. There are people you don't think the same way. There are people you love, but you have to make something with all these people and with all the flaws and the qualities of everyone. I really missed that. I missed the orchestra. I at this point, after a few months, I thought, no, I am sure I want to continue music also, because, so I want to continue music. I also want to continue collective playing in orchestra, maybe in a different country, maybe differently, but I was sure it was my thing. Yeah. But it was very good to give me this space and this freedom to look out, you know?
I have my last question, and I will give you this compliment because you're one of the most positive people I know. And you're obviously very curious. What gives you this energy to stay positive and curious? Obviously you do things beside music. So what are the areas or fields of hobbies that makes you still stay positive and happy to continue this kind of lifestyle?
I think there are a few things. The first one is, for people who know my instrument, they know that I'm building reeds every day, and it's such a difficult thing. So I'm building my mouthpiece, basically. And when I made a very good one, perfectly scraped, perfectly, never happened perfectly, but good one. it lasts 6 concerts maximum. So I'm constantly remaking my own mouthpiece. And it's with a natural material, which is wood. So it's always different. Every material is different. And it's really difficult. So I think one time I was speaking with a trumpet player and for Ballo Chamber, and it was funny because he told me, you know, it's very hard what you're going through with your reeds, but maybe you put all your frustration in life in that. Everything is... and then the rest of your life seems very easy. So, and in a way, I think he was right, because that's so difficult for me. That's the most difficult part of my... For now, maybe I will improve, but for now, it's still the most difficult part of my life. Then everything apart from that seems quite easy. So that's maybe the first point. But then... I don't know. In a way, I think I try to trust life, and I really believe that life push you in always where you need to go, where you need to be, and where you need to be to improve yourself and to get better, and to be a better version of yourself. So even when there are negative events in my life, I always try to see further and think, okay, it seems negative for now, but I'm sure one day I will realize finally it was a positive event, and because I would learn that and that and that, and I don't know for now, but I will understand later, and try to trust that, you know. And the last point I would say is I'm passionate. I'm always curious, and I'm doing many things, but sometimes I get crazy because there are too many things in my head. And it helps a lot for me to go to the nature, to go outside in the nature. And almost every day when I can, I try to do a little walk, even if it's just 20 or 30 minutes. But just to walk in the nature, and it helps me so much to take distance. Yeah, with everything's happening. Yeah.
Love it. Lola, thank you so much for this taking the time to talk to me. I really loved it.
Thank you very much, Asaf. Yeah.
What did you take away from this conversation with Lola? Did you know the bassoon beforehand? Feel free to comment or ask questions in the podcast Facebook page or on my Instagram page, Asaf Maoz. And please don't forget to share and rate the podcast. 5 stars would be ideal. Until next time, I'm Asaf Maoz, and thank you for listening to Strings Attached.